Genesis 2, verse 7. If you have my version, you may read with me. Oh, thank you for that, AC. I don't feel anything yet, but we must live by faith. Thank you for the AC. All right, what book did I say? I can't hear you. What book did I say? What chapter? What verse? Read with me. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Finish the verse. And man became a living soul. Now, we will read it again. We will read it microscopically. Then I have a quiz question for you. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. Not just the ground, the dust of the ground. Breathe into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, that side, we're over there. How many actions did God perform in verse 7? Tell me quickly, right over there. Two. Whoever said that, God bless you. This side, name one of them, quickly. Too slow, that side. What? Formed, over there. What's the second action he performed? He formed, then he breathed. He breathed what? The breath of life, which means before he breathed the breath of life, what was the condition of that thing he formed? Lifeless. Lifeless. Keep this in mind. Until God breathed breath into that thing, it was, tell me, lifeless. It couldn't think, couldn't feel, couldn't smell, couldn't taste. This is early in the Bible. We are getting a glimpse of what it means to be death. Dead, lifeless, not just dead, lifeless. Now, go to Genesis 2. Let's read 16, 17. Our subject is what? Come on, what's our subject? The dead know. Come on, emphasize the word. The dead know nothing. Mm-hmm. Verse 16, verse 17 of Genesis 2. Read with me if you have my version. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, it wasn't the suggestion, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. You will go back to the condition you were in before I breathe life into you. Let the Bible clarify that. Go to chapter 3 of Genesis. We'll read from verse 17. Adam has sinned. Eve has sinned. And God is very unhappy. But his unhappiness does not cancel his love. Can you say amen? Verse 17 of Genesis 3. God is addressing Adam, the head of the home. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife. Let me pause and digress at great risk in a society where the family is such a major focus. You cannot put your wife ahead of God. Is this microphone working? You cannot put your husband ahead of God. You cannot put your children, finish my words, ahead of God. God said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice, because you put someone else ahead of me, cursed is the ground for thy sake. Keep reading. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns or some thistles shall it bring forth unto thee, and thou shalt eat herb of the field. Now, God is telling Adam, I'll curse you because you listen to someone else. Now, verse 19 says, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread until what? Come on, read loud. Until thou return where? Keep reading. For out of it was thou taken. God tells her, you will go back to the condition you were in before I did what? Come on. Breathe what? Life. Before God breathed life into Adam, could Adam think, yes or no? Could he see? Could he hear? Could he love? Could he eat? What could he do? Nothing. What's our subject? If that's clear, say amen.
Amen.
Okay. Now, let us go to Ephesians chapter 2. We read from verse 1. Ephesians in the New Testament, lovely book, written by the Apostle Paul, a mighty warrior for Christ. But before God caught him, Paul was virtually a murderer of Christians. Matthew was a thief until he met Jesus. It makes no difference the condition of your life. If you will allow Christ to meet you, he will change you. There may be someone listening to me who believes or thinks my life is too far gone. There's no such thing for God. He can change your life, but he has to do it if your life is in his hands. Ephesians 2, reading from verse 1. Before I read, let me pray again. Father in heaven, this is a critical subject. Tighten your grip on my faculties. Remind me I am in this desk for your glory and your glory alone. In Jesus' name I appeal to you. Amen. And you hath he quickened who what? Were dead in trespasses and sin. And you hath he quickened. We have two opposite words in that verse. Now think. Give me the two opposite words in that verse quickly. Quickened and dead. Cast your mind back to Genesis 2:7. Do you see those two words, yes or no? Well, in the sense that Adam was there lifeless. What did God do? Give me the word from Ephesians. What did God do? He quickened him. The word quicken is to bring to life. Are you following me? Say yes or no. All right. Let me pause and thank God for the services of the sister right over here. Everyone needs to hear the gospel. Whether by spoken word, sign, may God bless you for the work you're doing. And I hope every church will make an attempt to provide that kind of service. It's very important. And I'm personally grateful because it will remind me to slow down so that somebody say amen.
Amen.
My spiritual gift is speaking too quickly. All right. Listen to Ephesians 2 verse 1. And you hath he quickened who was dead in trespasses and sin. If God, now this is spiritual death. This is not physical death. Are you following me? But death is death. A spiritually dead person, think of our subject and then answer me or finish my words. A spiritually dead person, come on, you're too weak. A spiritually dead person knows nothing. Does not know he needs Jesus. Can a dead person pray? Can a dead person confess sins? No. For a person who is dead to pray, what has to happen? That person has to be brought alive. I'm not sure you're following me. Are you? Then I was wrong. Forgive me for my sins. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Now he described the past life of death, wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, and the course of this world is contrary to the course of heaven. Jesus in the Lord's Prayer, say it with me. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Now carefully and microscopically, thy will be done in earth, come on, as it is in heaven. Without variation. Which means, if you or I are children of God, even though we are in a corrupt world, we must live a heavenly life. And only two people said amen. Don't discourage the preacher, I'll go back home tomorrow. Now, we go back to verse 2. Wherein of Ephesians 2, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Who is that? Give me one word. Satan. Let's read again. By the way, when I began, I recited Genesis 1, 1 to 6, 1 to 5, and then Matthew 5, 14 to 16. But going back to Genesis 1, and God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God has sent me to divide truth from error. Light from darkness. With all respect, as your brother, there are people listening to me now who are in darkness and need to be brought to the light. Now, go back to verse 2 of Ephesians 2. Wherein in time past your former life, you walked according to the course of this world. And it goes on, according to the prince, the course of this world is the course of Satan. Simple. Among whom we all had our conversation in time past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the mind and of the flesh, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. A child of wrath is a child of disobedience, because God only pours out his wrath on the disobedient. That person is spiritually dead. But God, in his mercy, what's that key word? Mercy. He has to raise us to life in order that we might accept his offer of eternal life. Let me try another approach so I can have peace of mind that you're with me. Go to John chapter 6 as quickly as you can. It is now 8 minutes to 5. I'll release you quickly, don't worry, and I'll pray for God to make up any deficit you may feel because you've given some time to him. Do not worry about your studies. All you have to do is do the best you can with the time you have left. Are you following me? Leave the rest to God. What book did I say? What chapter? What verse? I didn't say. Verse 44. When you found it, say amen. If you have my version, read with me. What does the Bible say? No man. Stop. What does no man mean? Nobody. No male. No female. No Nigerian, no American, no North Korean, no Swiss, no German. No man can come to me. Who is me? Jesus. Let that sink in. There's a condition. Nobody can of his own or her own will come to Jesus. Finish the verse now. Except the Father which have sent me draw. Do you think you went to church because you decided to go to church? Do you think you gave your life to Christ because you independently decided to give your life to Christ? It is God who puts within us an impulse to do what is right. Now, we have to follow up on the impulse. That impulse is the very life of Jesus Christ. Let me say it again in the presence of a holy God. No man can come to me, Christ, except the Father which have sent me draw him. Now, what does the word except mean? We haven't got all day. What does it mean? The only way. The only way is if my Father draws him. Now, go to verse 65. Of John 6, verse 65. Verse 65 of John 6. Do you have that? My people with my version, read with me. What does that say? And he said what? Therefore said I unto you, come on, that no man can, except it were given unto him of my Father. In other words, for any man or any woman dead in sin, and anyone outside of Christ is dead in sin, because Christ is life, and to be outside of Christ is to be spiritually dead. You don't believe me? Let the Bible do what I cannot do, which is convince you. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy 5. My friends online, I hope you're still with us. God bless you for loving truth. Nothing but truth can sanctify and save. You know, the Bible says God the Father is truth, Jesus is truth, the Holy Ghost is truth. To be a member of that family, we must love truth and live by truth. What book did I say? First what? Say it clearly. Chapter? Verse 6. When you found it, say amen. Read with me now so you can realize it's not me. Come on. And she that liveth, come on, in pleasure, finish the verse, is dead while she liveth. What kind of death? Spiritual death. But spiritual death or physical death, what's our subject? Come on, tell me quickly. The dead, come on, know nothing. It is God in his love that puts upon the person the impulse, which is a flash of his own life. That person may realize, wait a minute. What kind of life am I living? Every night drinking, every night smoking, every night gambling, every weekend I'm drunk. What kind of life is this? God, in his mercy, gives a flash of his own light into the conscience and quickens that person. Now, that's not salvation. That's opening your eye to show you you need salvation. Listen carefully. If a man has a gun, he holds you up in a dark alley, takes your wallet, your purse, and is about to shoot you in the head, then he changes his mind. Where did that impulse come from? God. God. Now, he can resist the impulse, but the very fact he would think of sparing you, that's an impulse from God. Let us stay in Ephesians 2. Let's go back to that book as quickly as we can. 2 minutes to five. We read from verse 1 all the way to verse 4 or verse 7. I'll see how the Spirit leads. You have Ephesians 1? Not sorry, 2? Did you answer me? We had a fight yesterday. I told you I want you to talk back to me. Even if it's contrary to your culture, talk back to me. Are you with me? Okay. Verse 1, Ephesians 2. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now, take a deep breath. Read verse 4. But God, come on, read with me, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, keep reading, even when we were what? Stop. Even when we were dead, but dead how? In sin, yeah. Physically alive, but dead. Listen to me, in Joss, there are dead people walking around. In Abuja. In Lagos. In Enugu City. In Michigan. There are dead people walking around. Dead spiritually, alive. So the Bible says, even when we were dead in sin, hath by grace you're saved, hath quickened us together with Christ. Now, he quickens us while we are dead. Why does he have to quicken us? Because we don't know we need him. Let me say quickly, a spiritually dead person may feel the need for church, not God. Hey, do you know I love you? You know why? I believe you love God. So it's safe to love those who love God. Nobody said amen. I don't have any. What's your currency called? Naira? Naira? What's it called? I have no Naira to pay you. I'll pay you to say amen. You make life tough for the preacher. I'll pay you some Naira just to say amen. Well, I don't have it with me now, so God bless you. Spiritually, when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. Now, keep reading, and hath raised us up together. Two separate actions, but connected. If God doesn't quicken you, he can't raise you. Because he quickens you to let you know, I need Jesus. Even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. My brother, my sister, God is so good. He looks at a dead man and he says, I want to save that man. But he's dead. And because he's dead, he knows. In order for him to know something, and the knowledge he needs is that he needs a savior, God has to wake him up, yes. Bring his conscience alive. That power is the very life of Christ. Every atheist is alive because of the life of Christ. Now he's been made alive. His conscience is alive. He realizes, I need Jesus. He can decide yes or no. Yes, now he's raised up. No, he goes back. Seeking God is only possible because God first seeks. Go to Luke 19. Five after five. How are you doing, my sister? One. What book did I say? What chapter? 19. What verse? 10. Christ is in the house of Zacchaeus, that chief tax collector. Listen to what Christ says in verse 10. Read it with me. For the Son of Man is come to do two things. What are they? Seek. What's the other one? In that order, or is any order acceptable? In that order. He has first to, before he can. Yes, and the seeking is the same thing as quickening someone dead in sin. Listen to me. You cannot be saved unless Christ seeks you. You may think you sought Christ. No, you sought church. You sought a social group. You sought fellowship. You sought companionship. You sought food. You sought a house. You sought a wife. You sought a husband. You sought money. You did not seek God. Because it is not in you and me to seek God of ourselves. Do I look mad? Okay. I'm just worked up. I want all of you saved. Are you with me? Go to Romans 3 quickly from verse 10. Let the Bible clarify what I'm trying to say. What book did I say? Who wrote Romans? Paul, yes. Chapter 3. Let's read from verse 10. How shall we read? God bless that handsome man who said that. Microscopically. In other words, what do I mean by read microscopically? What do I mean? Somebody on this side. Closely. Look at every word. Closely. Now, Romans 3, verse 10. My King James people, read with me. What does that say? As it is written, what? There's none righteous, no, not one. Keep reading. There's none that. Yes. We don't even understand. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. It is not in the capacity of a dead man to seek God. Why? He's dead. Whether physically or spiritually, death is death. You know nothing. That's why you shouldn't go to the witch doctor to talk to your grandfather. Why? Because your grandfather, come on, he knows nothing. Why? He's dead. So go get a refund. He's dead. I speak with respect. My father's dead. My mother's dead. My young brother's dead. My father-in-law's dead. My mother-in-law's dead. I understand loss. You don't go to the graveyard praying to dead people. You're praying to dirt. There's none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Now, since there is none that seeketh after God, keep this in mind and read Luke 19:10 again. Nice and loud. When you found it, say amen. Read with me. For the Son of Man is come to and to, come on, that which was. When did Jesus begin that seeking and saving? When? Tell me quickly. Was it 2,000 years ago or 3,000 years ago? No, it began in the Garden of Eden. The first sinners on earth were in Eden, not Palestine. Well, let's take a look at it now, but let me pray first. Father, I need simple words so my brethren and your children can understand, and my friends online. Give me simple words, God. Please, in Jesus' name, I appeal to you. Amen. Go to Genesis 3. Let me show you, God has to seek you. Time is it? It's, okay, 10 after. I said I'll let you go by 5:30. I intend to keep my word. Unless the Spirit tells me something else. All right. You have Genesis 3. Let's read from verse 8. Well, 9. Adam have sinned. They've made aprons of leaves in verse 7. And in verse 8, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. They heard. Walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Now, the garden was their home. I have to explain that. All right, let me explain it. Go to Genesis 2. Let's read verse 7 and 8. Then we'll come back to Genesis 3. Verse 8. Genesis 2, 7 and 8. Are you there? And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now listen to verse 8. And the Lord God planted the garden where? Eastward in Adam's home was not all of Eden. It was in the eastern part of Eden. Nobody's with me. I'm all alone in Joss. All alone. But I'm with good people, so I'm not panicking. Listen to the verse again. Verse 8, Genesis 2. And the Lord God planted a garden where? Eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. What did God plant? A garden. Where was Adam put as his home? The garden. Now, keep this in mind. Go back to Genesis 3 and read verse 8. You got that? Read with me. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking where? In the garden. Give me another word. In the home. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amidst the trees of the garden. They hid. Verse 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. Finish the verse. And I hid myself. Who was seeking whom? Tell me quickly. God was seeking. What was Adam doing? Running. What was God doing? Running too. But Adam was running from God, and God was running after Adam. That's the way it works. A sinner never runs to God of his own power. God has to put it in him to realize that God is seeking him. Then he chooses to stand still and let God catch him. This meeting is one way God has chosen to seek somebody. In person or online, he is chasing a young man who is this close to the edge of self-destruction. He is chasing a young woman listening to me now who is about to make a fatal decision that can ruin her life. And he's chasing you to save you. Listen to this verse. You know it very well. We talk about seeking. We read in Luke 19:10, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save. Listen to this verse. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking. Now, name the two people seeking you. Come on, with energy. And? Yes. Now, listen to me carefully. If someone's proposing marriage, tell the person, wait until the sermon is over. Listen carefully. God is chasing you. Satan is chasing you. Who catches you is up to you. How many of you will say, I want Jesus to catch me? Can I see your hand? I want God to catch our hands down. I am happy to see that. I believe you're serious. Let him catch you right where you sit. Father, this message has opened my eyes. Thank you. You've caught me at the right critical time when I was about to ruin my life. Hold on to me, God, and save me from myself. Hold on to me, Father. Thank you for opening my eye to realize I need you. So God opens the eye by quickening the person, that's the life of Christ, to give us an opportunity to accept eternal life. What's our subject? The dead? No. Come on, how should you say nothing? The dead? No. Nothing. And for our spiritual purposes, a dead person does not know that he or she needs Christ. Christ has to come and enter. So in the very last book of the Bible, Genesis 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door. Come on, and knock. That's chasing. That's seeking. If any man hear my voice, did Adam hear God's voice in the garden? Yes or no? What did he do? He ran. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Jesus wants to do that right where you sit. How many of you will say, Father, thank you for opening my eye. Come. Thanks for chasing me, for seeking me. I open the doors of my heart. Come all the way in. Father, don't visit, come and stay. How many will say that? Can I see your hand? Come and stay. Stand up with me. This is very, very serious. Stand up with me. Come, dear God, and stay. The dead know nothing. This is the life that God uses to quicken the conscience, his word, somehow. Being born again, or the corruptible things, but incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, written by the brother of Jesus, James. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Dear God, we thank you for your word. It is simple. If we will listen honestly, Father, we have learned from your word, not mine, not from the Encyclopedia Britannica or from some secular magazine. We have learned from your all-powerful word that a dead person knows nothing, whether physical or spiritual. But we were stressing the spiritual, Father. The spiritually dead person does not know he or she needs Christ. We thank you that in your mercy, through the life of Christ, on the basis of Calvary and that resurrection, the life of Christ is used to awaken the person to the fact he or she needs Christ. And if the person will accept Christ, then the person is given eternal life. Even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ and hath raised us up together. Father, let that raising up begin now, because your people have said, come on in, Father, and stay. Don't visit, stay. Father, bless everyone in this building, those who listen online, especially the little children and the visitors. Bring us back to this place, dear God, tomorrow on time. Now, God, for those students who gave you some time, watch over us tonight. Let your angels bring us back tomorrow. In Jesus' name, let God's people say amen and amen. God bless you. I'll see you tomorrow, the Lord willing. Try to bring someone.
This media was brought to you by Audioverse, a website dedicated to spreading God's word through free sermon audio and much more. If you would like to know more about Audioverse, or if you would like to listen to more sermons, please visit www.audioverse.org.